Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, it's time for our debate on Justice Matters. I'm joined by James Brown from Fianna Fáil, Marie Sherlock from Labour, Pather Tobin from Aintu, Matt Carthy from Sinn Féin, and from Limerick by Helen McEntee Fine Gael. And you're all welcome to the programme this morning. Thanks very much for being with us. Yet you will need your headphones there to hear Helen McEntee. Matt Carthy, I'll start with you on this. So we're a year on from the Dublin riots, very much in the news today because we've seen the Gardaí have published all of these photographs of people that they want to identify who they believe were involved. Do you think people feel safer today on the streets of Dublin in particular?
No, and I think that's the question people need to ask themselves going into this general election. Do they feel safer in their communities, and do they think their communities, their towns or villages are better policed than what they were when Fine Gael came into power 14 years ago, or even when this government and coalition came together almost 5 years ago? The truth is that what Fine Gael in power has meant for the communities I represent is that there are now less Gardaí, there are less Garda stations, and there are particularly less community guards within every town and village. And what that means is that...
Because I know you mentioned 14 years there, but specifically in the months, in the year that has passed since this unprecedented situation in Dublin city centre, is your contention that nothing has changed since then in the city?
I can tell you, well, in the city, absolutely not. And I, as we all do, we're based in terms of our work in Dublin for large periods of time. It is very clear that Dublin is an underpoliced city. But it, even when you go beyond that, in my community, in my constituency, where there are lots of relatively small towns and villages, for the first time in my lifetime, people tell me that there are times when they do not feel safe in their own town.
Okay.
That is an indictment on the
previous
Helen
McEntee, do your response to that? Dublin is an underpoliced city and people don't feel safe in their communities around the country?
Well, firstly, can I commend the Gardaí and the work that they have done in the past year, not just in responding to the riots and the thousands and thousands of hours that have gone into bringing people before our courts, making sure we have prosecutions, and even still they're working to ensure that people are held accountable. I have listened to Gardaí for the last number of years, not just in our city centre, but right across our towns and villages in our communities. And they have said very clearly to me there has been a shift, there's been a change, particularly post-COVID. There's more aggression in our communities, in our society. And we need, yes, more Gardaí. And for Dublin alone, over 60% of our new recruits have gone directly to Gardaí because there's an acknowledgement we have a huge population. We need to make sure that we have that visible presence in our streets. But it's about not just focusing on Garda numbers. And if we focus solely on Garda numbers, then we're going to miss so much of what has been said. So it's not just the Gardaí, it's the retailers, it's the people that I meet have said there's a shift and a dynamic, particularly in our towns, in our cities, where you have less people living in them, you have less people working in them. In our city centre in particular, and this was borne out in the task force that the Taoiseach commissioned himself, we have dereliction, we have issues around specific type of vulnerable services which bring certain people into our city centres, and all of that is feeding into challenges
that
people...
Well,
everybody is
the
accountable here.
What
we know is that...
And you have been in government for 14 years.
Hold on a second, Matt. What I've said very clearly is, particularly post-COVID, where you've had a shift, you've less people working in our city centre, you've had a change in dynamic in our towns and villages, we need to respond collectively. And what have I done? What am I doing? It's not just the task force. The community partnerships that are now going to be in every single county actually respond in a way that brings together local authorities, health, housing, services, Gardaí, community members to look at their own towns and villages and say, what do we need? What are the challenges here? How
and
do
all
we work
of them
together?
Would say and we need more Gardaí.
The perfect example of that is Drogheda, where we have already have task force, where we already have a partnership in place, and
Marie
the town
Sherlock
itself
wants to
has
come
benefited
in. Helen,
from that.
We'll hear from you again in a moment. Marie Sherlock, go ahead.
And we've partnerships set up 2 years ago, and yet no funding put behind them. So look, there's a fundamental issue here. As the only representative working in the communities around Dublin, there is a huge frustration with regards to our city centre and the communities that people don't feel safe. And the reality is that we have less Gardaí in Dublin now than what we did in 2018. And we've had years of promises from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael with regards to increasing Garda numbers, but no major breakthrough. And when I talk to guards on the ground, ground, they are hugely overstretched. Morale is really low and they know they need more visible policing. But we haven't seen the initiatives taken with regards to recruitment. So number one, like, we need to see the opening of the reopening of the Garda Training College in the Phoenix Park. We need people in Dublin, living in Dublin, to join the Guards. Right now, it's farcical that Fine Gael is only coming out now saying this needs to happen when they've for years been promising an increase in Garda numbers. We need to look at the training, the training payment and a series
which
of other
I have
issues.
Doubled,
but the reality
which
is,
which I have doubled, and we will double again.
Yeah, but the point is, like Helen, you know, you've been in charge, right? And communities do not feel the impact of any of the measures that have been taken. Like at the end of the day, we need to ensure that there is more visible policing, but. Police solely policing our way to safer cities is not going to work. We also need to look at youth work. And in the Fine Gael manifesto, there is a line, not even a full sentence, with regards to youth work. Like, the reality is we have not seen the increase in juvenile liaison officers in our city. There was 6 back in 2018. There's less than 10 there now.
Okay. There was no emphasis on
youth work in the Fine Gael manifesto.
Strategy.
And the reality is we have to try and get to people when they're young, okay, to try and stave off.
Marie, beside you, Pather Tobin, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm on Father Ted here. It's kind of like, you know, is there anything to be said for another task force, Ted, in relation to this question?
Well, you're not going to be able to click your fingers and fix it either, is the
reality.
Well,
I tell you, right now, okay, there are more, last year, there were more Gardaí recruited by the Australian government than there were by the Irish government. For every year that Helen McEntee has been Minister for Justice, there's been a fall in the number of Gardaí. That's a startling fact. And the reason being is because...
Do you accept, Pather, that there are less Gardaí because of COVID-19?
It's because it's pay, terms and conditions. And pensions is actually the biggest issues for the reason for the number of Gardaí. Because if you want to recruit people, you have to give them an attractive compensation package, and you won't do that for Gardaí. And I just want to mention the Dublin riots for a second, if I can, because I asked them, the minister promised a review over the absolutely disastrous policing that happened on that day. And in July, I asked her a question, was a review finished? Was there recommendations? Were they implemented? 3 months later, the minister came back to me and said she is unable to give me any information about any review, whether it's finished, good, bad, or indifferent, whether there's any recommendations or whether there's anything been implemented. And she said she would send me a letter as soon as that's happened. I have received no letter. It is very possible at the moment that the review that Helen McEntee promised straight after that disastrous policing situation has not actually been complete.
Okay. So firstly on that, I have done nothing but commend the Gardaí for the unbelievable work that they did on that night. The most challenging, challenging situation they could have found themselves in. And not only did they bring that under control in a relatively short space of time, but they have managed to, since then, bring people before the courts. That review has been done and work has been put in place. And in fact, since then, there's 9 million more euro has gone in to support our Gardaí, whether it's helmets, whether it's gear, whether it's public order vans that they need.
What are the recommendations of that review?
On top of that, we now have Gardaí with body cameras and we will have facial recognition technology,
which
means that the thousands and thousands of hours that Gardaí have spent, they won't have to do it under this legislation.
All right, Pather, I want to bring in James Brown, because a lot of criticism here is being directed at Helen McEntee, who's the most recent holder of the Justice Portfolio, but you served in that department as well. I don't see you jumping up and down to defend your own record.
Well, I was a Minister of State in that department, and under the delegated functions I had, I think my record stands for itself. Reforming gambling legislation, clearing off a 10-year backlog on EU directives that was there, record funding into youth diversion projects, and the Garda Commissioner himself said the one thing you could do to really help the situation in Dublin is more funding for youth diversion projects to divert young people away from a life of crime. And what Fianna Fáil wants, if we are back in government, we want the Department of Justice. We also want to split the Department of Justice into a new Department of Justice and Safety and a Department of Domestic Affairs, because what we have is a systems failure. You know, 14 years later, we have 131 additional Gardaí. Our prisons are overcrowded. We have record illegal migration into the country, and we are not able to handle that. And the Department of Justice is clearly overwhelmed. And we have the same criminal justice system in Ireland as the UK.
Do you blame your senior minister for that?
No, I blame...
Because you did say you did 50% of the work, didn't you, while you were in there?
I said I did 50% of the legislation while I was in there. And my point in that, and I was making a broader point, that the department is not able to handle the amount of priorities it has. That's why you need a new Department of Domestic Affairs to bring asylum seekers, to bring citizenship, to bring accommodation, national security and everything. And that's what every modern country has, whether it's the Home Affairs in the UK, Internal Affairs, years in most EU countries. But we have just the systems failure. And we have this, as I said, we have the same criminal justice system here as in the UK. They were able to prosecute people and get convictions within days of the riots over there. We're a year later in Ireland and to not a single reported conviction.
So, Claire,
after
can
the
I tell you why that happened?
Go
that
ahead.
Happened because they were able to bring forward evidence and people pled guilty. What I have ensured is that we now have body cameras on Gardaí, which means that if a guard is at an incident, they have the footage and the evidence straight away. They haven't had that before now. Secondly, they've used facial recognition technology. So instead of the thousands of hours that Gardaí have had to do or to scan over the last year, they've been able to access immediately. So they were able to bring people before the courts immediately, which we did do here. But because they had the evidence, they put it to them. It couldn't be refuted. These people gave guilty pleas. That's why you had a quicker time frame. With the body cameras that I have now put on Gardaí and with the introduction of facial recognition technology, we would have those same effects coupled with the 31 additional judges that I have put into our courts. We've already seen backlogs being cleared. We're having quicker access to justice and there's approval for 20 more.
Okay.
So this is all focused on
bring in
having
Matt
quicker
Carthy,
access to justice.
Because Matt, we had the same problem that you know some of the party leaders had last night. We don't have your manifesto, so I don't know what your big idea is in justice. Do you want to tell us this morning?
Well, and it's actually quite simple because the minister talks about engaging with communities, engaging with stakeholders, engaging with the Gardaí themselves. Every single one of those will tell you what is needed is actually more Gardaí. In the first instance, yes, there are lots of other resource issues and there are power issues in relation to the powers that the Gardaí have. But unless you actually have enough Gardaí to police our communities, you're starting
from the wrong spot. So your big idea for justice
is
more guards.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And that is critically important. So what we have at the
moment,
how
are you going to get them?
Well, what we have at the moment is an auction essentially between the two parties that have actually decimated our Gardaí and have less Gardaí now than when they came to office.
How are you going to get the more guards?
So in the first instance, we need to actually ensure that we retain the Gardaí that we have. So we have to actually examine and engage with Gardaí in respect of how you actually ensure that people don't feel the need to resign early. We're at record levels in terms of the numbers of Gardaí that are leaving the force every year.
How do you encourage people to join?
So you have to ensure that the training allowance is actually at the level that is necessary. The minister talks about increasing the training allowance, which I'll acknowledge she did, but she should also acknowledge that she didn't go anywhere near where the Gardaí themselves say that training allowance
needs to be. So what should it be in your view?
€397 is what the Garda representatives have said is required. But it also, and there's a much broader issue here in terms of the issue of housing and other areas that affect all of us, but are also affecting Garda retention and recruitment. But critically, you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael saying you're having an auction between themselves where Fianna Fáil said we're going to recruit 5,000 extra Gardaí. Fine Gael said we're going to recruit 6,000 extra just to usurp them. Neither of them have a credible plan to do so.
What are you promising?
Plan is the establishment of a second Garda training college.
Which would actually allow,
well, I don't know the location, and that isn't necessarily a political judgment to make. But what we need is a second Garda training college so that we can actually increase the numbers that are going through that programme. So at the moment, the maximum capacity that the Templemore College has is about 1,000 per year. So under Fianna Fáil's proposals,
keeping a new training facility, you don't know where it's going to be, €397 for recruits a week.
Yes, and this is why it's important.
So it's at 305 at the moment and we're planning to double it, just to be clear on that.
At the moment, the Templemore can accommodate about 1,000 Gardaí recruits a year. So Fianna Fáil don't have any proposal to expand on that.
We actually
have proposals.
Now respond to those. More Gardaí, another recruitment training centre and €397 a week. James.
Yeah, so we have to totally reform how we recruit our members of an Garda Síochána Cónaí. We haven't changed how we do that in probably the best part of the existence of the state. The National Ambulance Service has done this very successfully. You have to create new pathways into an Garda Síochána Cónaí. We're one of the very few police forces in the world that doesn't have a graduate entry mechanism, so those with experience who want to come into the Gardaí can do so without having to do the full training process. You do a more concerted effort of training. You also give different pathways using our universities so people can qualify through to gain access to training for on Garda Síochána through the various universities around the country. people today kind of heading down to Templemore purely for 6 months is very difficult for people, especially for families. So Templemore remains central for the vocational element of training, but given those different pathways so you can widen the talent pool.
So you don't agree with Matt, there should be another training centre. You're saying use the universities.
I think if we're going to wait until we build another training centre, I mean, the best part, these things take 5 years, if with the best will in the world. We have the capacity with our existing universities, our existing academics, and use what's there in Templemore
and
that expertise as well. We did not have the Department of Justice. We were junior portfolio.
You have been in the Department of Justice. Secondly, you actually endorsed the current minister in a motion of confidence. And thirdly, you have not at any point in time in government raised a solution. Unlike Sinn Féin, who's still not published their manifesto
and whose justice spokesperson has gone into hiding for the entire campaign. Where's your justice spokesperson today?
He's in Kerry.
Participating in any justice debate.
Well,
which is
I'm sure Pat Daly has been a very effective opposition spokesperson.
He's a very reasonable person, and that's probably why you're afraid to have him out.
In response to government failures, and he has outlined time and time again that your approach has been failing over the past 5 years, and you've
Fianna
refused
Fáil
to listen. And now you're setting out
of justice.
This,
we want
the
Damascus
conversion.
Sorry, now, if you're talking over each other, like, do the people the respect of being able to hear you. I mean, he does have a point. You didn't raise any of these issues over the last 4 and odd years. You know, you didn't say anything about using the colleges to recruit guards in that time. You didn't tell us you had an overwhelmed department in that time. Now you're saying it's a terrible place.
No, I've actually consistently acknowledged that we don't have enough Garda Síochána Síochána. Any time I've been on any debate, I've acknowledged that we have a situation with a significant increase in illegal migration, and we don't have enough prison spaces. I regularly acknowledge that. And what I have done as a Minister of State in the department, been able to identify the solutions that need to be brought in. We need innovation and we need application to get the reforms that are needed. And we have the solutions in our manifesto to be able to do that.
Helen McEntee, did James tell you that it's an overwhelmed department while he was working with you in it?
Well, look, it's a busy department. I don't think anybody denies that. It's a particularly heavy legislative department. You're also responding to issues as they arise every day, and you're also making sure that you're forward-looking, that you're reforming, and that you're putting victims at the very centre of everything that you do. I think for the most part, we have worked relatively well together, and unlike most ministers, I have given James a seat at the table. Any meeting we had with the Garda Commissioner, any issues that we had where he could contribute to, where we could put forward ideas.
So he had his chance.
That the whole thing is a mess and nobody's done anything right. I'm sorry now, but it's a bit late to be saying that.
Well, that's not what I said, Minister. With great respect, that is absolutely not what I have said.
It's hard to listen to two government parties bickering with each other over 5 years of when they were working together. But I will say, just this is important and people are forgetting about it. Garda welfare is very important. So every day, Gardaí are being attacked and assaulted in this country at the moment. So we brought in a bill which would give a minimum custodial sentence to anybody who purposefully injures a Garda while they're on duty. And we think we need to get to a situation where Gardaí feels safe also in the lines of the work. Right now, there are many rural Garda stations, not just closed, but only open for about 4 hours a week. And I actually think that the government doesn't even have the decency to close them because they don't want the negative publicity it would take to actually to close those 4 hours a week. So what we want is to see 26 rural Garda stations fully reopened and fully staffed as well. And, you know, I hear pledges about 6,000.
How much is that going to cost?
It would take €30 million to get those Garda stations fully reopened. So they're already there. They're physically there.
And does that staff them as well?
No,
what does that cover?
We want to add another 3,000 Gardaí onto the Garda numbers at the moment, and that comes in at €350 million a year to do that.
And do you want to pay them more while they're in training?
We want to open up negotiations in relation to pensions, and I'm going to hammer that point home because every time I speak to a Garda, the catalyst to Gardaí leaving here is pay terms and conditions and, most importantly, pensions. They're being given the same pensions as public service workers, even though the fact that they do a job that's far more difficult and far more dangerous. It was mooted in the public service agreement back in 2018 that they would get a supplementary to their pension. I think we need to renegotiate that with Gardaí alone and make sure that we're competing with other countries.
And what do you think of Matt's figure of €397 for a Garda in training?
Yeah, listen, I think we do need to get to that figure, but I'll be honest, I've been talking to a lot of Gardaí over the last while because we've been raising it so consistently in the Dáil. Gardaí are coming to us in terms of this information and they're telling me the pensions issue is the key issue for them.
So higher pensions. Now, Marie Charlotte, can I bring you in on something that Helen McEntee mentioned? Because you agree with Gardaí using the body cameras, don't you? But when it comes to using facial recognition technology, which we know can be used to identify suspects, in some cases criminals, you've concerns over that when it comes to mass surveillance. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look, we agree with the facial recognition technology, but there has to be proper safeguards in place. And it's like the use of any data in society. There's obviously a balance between using it for prosecutions and to maintain people's civil and human rights as well. But Claire, I just want to say something here. We've listened this morning to the government parties trot out excuses for why they have failed to recruit over the last number of years. Fianna Fáil are saying, oh, the department is overwhelmed. Fine Gael are saying that there is a new aggression in society that they're having to grapple with. And what we're not hearing is how they're actually proposing to deal with that. And I just want to point to one thing. Because there's a serious issue here, right? Because in the immigration part of Fine Gael's manifesto, they are now proposing to restrict the movements of asylum seekers in our communities. Now we are, and as somebody who works day in day out in the north inner city, we've got a very febrile environment now where there is racism in certain pockets of our communities, where there's wild rumours circulating, and Fine Gael are fanning the flames of that racism, that hatred, and that distrust, and is absolutely disgraceful.
Explain to us what you have an issue with in the Fine Gael manifesto in that regard.
Yeah, so with regards to their proposals for international protection applicants, they are now saying they want to set up new centres, which we agree with, right? We believe the Catherine Day report recommendations need to be implemented, which is the establishment of 6 new centres. Now, of course, the current government should have done that long ago, but the fundamental problem here is they are proposing to restrict the movements of asylum seekers. So you can just imagine here, is it going to be the Gardaí? Is it the Army? Is it private security? Who's going
to be monitoring the
movements of asylum seekers in our communities?
Can we just establish what Fine Gael are suggesting in that regard? Helen McEntee, what is that plan? Explain it to us.
Let me outline very clearly, and it's not as it is being portrayed. We have signed up to the Migration Pact, which is, I believe, the best approach and the best
The Migration Pact does not talk about restricting the movements of asylum seekers. This is going to lead to vigilantism. It's going to endanger our Gardaí within our communities.
Can we just have her explain to us what does refer to what you've just outlined? Go ahead.
If you actually knew what I was referring to, then you wouldn't be saying that. So what we are proposing is that if you are a particular person coming and you have already international protection elsewhere, if you come with false or no documents, that you would be put into an accelerated programme. Now, I'm already investing in our immigration system so that we can process applications more quickly. But for this particular group of people, from start to finish, so from the very first application, their decision and the right way through appeals, it would be done in 12 weeks. During those 12 weeks, those people would be asked and would be put into particular accommodation and they would have to check in daily to make sure that they are there. We're not restricting their movements. We're not putting barbed wire.
Accommodation with restricted freedom of movement. This is detention, right? Of
but
those who are coming to our country,
so
fleeing persecution or war, and seeking protection here. It says very clearly with restricted freedom of movement. Now, the minister now needs to explain what our plans are, because to my mind, that is a recipe for fanning the flames of distrust within our communities. When people come, when I am on people's doors and people talk about unvetted males, and I have to go and defend and say, well, actually, people are fingerprinted, people are coming to our country, they deserve to be listened, and their applications need to be processed efficiently. And what Fine Gael is trying to do here is lean in to the distrust and the racism that is already out there, and it is shameful.
I don't think anybody who has listened to me over the last number of years would believe anything other than I want a person who comes to this country who was fleeing war or persecution to get that protection that they should be entitled to and that they deserve. I have been very clear on that. And actually, the quicker somebody gets that answer, the quicker they can move on with their life, in their community, contribute, work, provide for their family. We all want that to happen. But if you don't have a right to be here, if you have protection elsewhere, if you have come under false pretense, or if you have come as an economic migrant, which unfortunately a lot of people will use our international protection system as a route for, then you shouldn't have a right to be here. What we're proposing, and it's very clear here, that you would stay in specific accommodation. Yes, you would have to check in daily, but we're not putting people under armed guard and keeping them under lock and key. Let me be very clear about that, so please don't insinuate that we
are. Matt Carthy, do you agree with that, with that Fine Gael strategy? For people who fall into those categories would have their movements restricted, they'd have to check in and out.
Well, I just wish that what Helen is now saying she intends to do in respect of international protection applicants was actually done over the time that she had an opportunity to do so.
So you agree with that strategy?
As Minister, this is what Sinn Féin want to ensure. First of all, that we have a managed migration system that actually works. That means that when people come to our country seeking international protection, as they're entitled to do so, that their process, their applications are processed quickly.
Which is what we're doing.
Well, at the moment, the average time is in and around 13 months for the initial application, up to another 9 months. So essentially 2 years. That's far too long. When people are eligible to remain, they have to receive all the supports necessary to integrate. And if people aren't eligible to remain...
There's a really simple question here. If you come in here and you false or you have no documents, or if you've sought asylum elsewhere, should your movements be restricted?
If you come here and if you've sought and received asylum elsewhere, well, then that's where you should be.
And false or no documents?
Again, the laws and the rules have to apply equally and across the board. And that is why we've...
So you agree with Fine Gael on this proposed policy?
What we have said is that we need to have a managed migration system. And we have called for the establishment and committed to the establishment of an immigrant management agency that would actually take charge of all aspects. So the process. So the decisions, so the enforcement, which the minister is completely failing to ensure is happening, and in terms of the role of local communities in all of that, there is a need to have this streamlined and managed.
What's this thing you're talking about, keeping tabs on people who travel here from the EU? What's that about?
No, it's not. It's about what we have said is that as part of its work, the immigrant migration, immigration management agency would have the option of exploring the prospect of a registration system that happens all over Europe, whereby EU and other citizens who arrive in
state... We've got free movement of people in Europe.
Yes, and our proposal would have no impact whatsoever on the free movement of people.
Well, why do you need to watch people moving around?
Well, because it's important if you are managing migration that you know where people who are coming to our country are in the round, so that you can ensure that services are up to standard and you can ensure that all other aspects of societal development can be managed. That's not radical, and that is in place.
Feeding into that distrust, and again, we don't have an identity system, an identity card system.
And neither does Denmark, but they have a registration system.
And the key point here is that Sinn Féin are just looking to try and lean into that distrust amongst our communities.
We're trying to address it. We are trying to address it, and nobody has shown more leadership within our communities than Sinn Féin represent.
Heather, go ahead.
First of all, we live in a democratic republic. People are entitled to discuss who comes into our country and who doesn't. I think it is intellectually lazy to try and shut people down in terms of raising issues by trying to slur them or trying to censor them. It's really important that we can speak respectfully in this issue, right? That's important. The second thing is, all of us here, I think, want to be able to differentiate between those who need help and those who don't need help. But the problem is we have a system under Helen McEntee, which means that 1,750 people received deportation orders last year, and 98 of those were actioned. That's less than 5% of those were actioned. Now, there were 647 who were under voluntary deportation, but when I ask Helen McEntee, is she confident that all of those have left the country? She cannot say all of those have left the country. Also, I put in 2 years
That's
worth
not
of two
true.
Year two
That's
years
not
of par- two, I have the parliamentary questions. I've published them after the show, if you like. For 2 years, I asked the minister how people were coming to the country, because it was surprising to me that 80% were registering at the IPASS office in Dublin rather than at the ports. And it became clear to me that they were coming from Britain through the north of Ireland into this state. I asked the minister, these people coming to the north of Ireland? The minister said to me she did not know.
But Heather, you are really good at telling us what the problems are. How would you fix it?
Well, first of all, we suggested a new border agency last March, and delighted that other political parties are now coming board in relation to that. We need an Irish sea border, is the truth of it. There is an Irish sea border currently for goods under Brexit. We need to talk to the British government in relation to making sure that Ireland is treated as a unit in with regards to the movement of people when it comes to asylum, because if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to track who's coming onto the island of Ireland,
Claire,
and who's
this
not.
This is laughable. And now it's that not because it's actually it's an Irish sea border
would be of use to the British as well, because there are occasions when the actual flow goes from the south of Ireland into the north and into Britain as well. We should be.
And if you're not happy about deportations, what would you do about that?
Well, we believe that anybody who goes through the really expensive process of defining whether or not they are an asylum seeker and they fail, that they should be deported. Every single individual that fails has to be deported.
But Claire,
you can't have a
this?
System currently that is under so much pressure, that costs so much money, if the outcome for both people who are successful and fail is exactly the same.
Okay, Helen McEntee, I'll let you back in just before we finish, but James Brown, I mean, your colleagues here around the table are saying there was plenty of opportunity to deal with all of this over the course of the last number of years. They say they have the solutions, and that you and your colleagues, coalition party colleagues, in Fine Gael, didn't deal with this problem.
No, look, Fianna Fáil's solution to this, and we've taken on the difficult departments in this government of housing and health, and we want to take on the difficult department of justice. The Sinn Féin proposal for the monitoring EU citizens in the EU, in Ireland, is not possible unless you bring in an identity card for the entire country.
So why are Denmark able to do so?
And they don't have an identity card for their entire country.
No, they don't.
So
they don't. And you're the minister.
One of the things we don't do
that.
Is we don't have exit records in this country. But what we're saying is this: we need to create the Department of Domestic Affairs. We need to have justice focused on justice and crime, and take the asylum situation from justice over to the new department. We need to take accommodation from the Department of Children and allow the Department of Children focus on children and bring that into the domestic affairs, and also anything to do with our national security brought into domestic
affairs.
So
housekeeping.
As well.
Housekeeping will fix this.
No, prioritising it will fix it.
Why
allowing
don't we
allowing
have
the departments to prioritise and focus
Why
on
don't
what
we have exit
they
records?
Should be.
Why don't we have exit records?
Because we have an open border, Pather. Now, let's be clear on this.
Like,
you're credibly talking about putting a border down the Irish Sea. We have fought tooth and nail for the last number of years to keep our open border, to protect it for absolutely everybody
north
here.
South
and now you're talking,
we want to protect
a border down the Irish Sea. Matt doesn't know what he's talking about because he's on about now
all,
working with Europe. He
just,
voted against the pact.
This is an important question, Helen, and I do want to ask.
I need to come back in.
Why is there no exit records taken at Irish airports?
I'm sorry, we know when people leave. And you talk about voluntary returns. That's literally buying a plane ticket and putting them on it. It's much cheaper than deporting people. In saying that, I've freed up 100 Gardaí in the last year alone who are now working on deportations. I have a charter flight that's going to be deporting people. But the quicker, easier, more efficient way to remove somebody is to buy them a plane ticket and send them home. And when it comes to voluntary returns, those numbers are far higher than we've ever seen. What Matt Carthy is talking about is working with Europe. He voted against the pact and has voted against Europe.
I need to come back in on that, Claire, because the Minister has made
sure
a charge
just
twice
very,
now.
Very briefly.
So, well, first of all, in respect of Fianna Fáil's proposals, what they are proposing is an extra department, but no extra minister for that department. That's not prioritising any issue. That's increasing the bureaucracy involved.
No,
in respect of what the Minister has said, Sinn Féin have always said that there are areas that we need to work on a pan-European level with, particularly in terms of returning of asylum seekers and particularly in terms of sharing of information. But the Migration Pact, let's be very clear, actually ties the hands of this minister and future ministers in several respects to actually be able to
do
this. I need to hear from Marie Sherlock on this.
For the entire European Union, every EU country will have no reason not to allow everybody come to this country.
Every minister is going to be restricted under the actions that they can take.
Marie Sherlock, you're in favour of an integration and migration asylum agency. Is that right? Is that what you have planned?
Yeah, absolutely. Because look, at the end of the day, you know, we have such a piecemeal system in this country. And there has been a complete failure to plan for the numbers coming to Ireland. Like, is what is really striking here is that in February 2022, the government then said that they expected 200,000 people to come into this country, 200,000 Ukrainians to come into Ireland, right? We've only seen 110,000. Obviously, there's been lots of people from other countries, but the government have literally buried their heads in the sand, with the result that we have people living in tents along our canals and in our communities like mine in Phibsborough during the summer and into the winter. Okay. And it is simply unacceptable.
Right.
So we need to actually put the resources and the facilities in place because people will travel. It's, you know, we saw in England, you know, like no matter what rules are put in place, people will travel and we need to have the facilities.
All right, we will leave it there. Thank you all very much for joining us today. We had Marie Sherlock from Labour, Pádraig Tobin, Aon Thu, Matt Carthy from Sinn Féin, James Brown from Fianna Fáil and Helen McEntee Fine Gael. Back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.